Raise your hand if you can tell me. I need y'all to give me some religious rules that sometimes we feel like we have to follow, but they don't save us. But sometimes we feel like we have to follow them. They might be good things.
Read your Bible every day.
Okay, read your Bible every day. You need a different marker?
Okay.
Anybody else? Religious rules we feel like we need to follow.
Pray every day.
Pray every day. See, these are good rules because they have very specific times on them. Every day.
Go to church.
Go to church every day. No matter what.
Talk to your youth pastor every day.
Talk to your youth pastor every day. No matter what.
Never lie.
Never, ever, 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 ever tell a lie.
Don't eat pork.
Don't eat pork.
Love Jesus.
That's relational.
Good. You almost got me. What else?
Love Jesus every day.
You have to wear your nicest clothes to church.
You have to wear, dress up.
Celebrate Christmas.
Share the gospel every day.
Yeah.
You know, every 2 days. Chips for orphans.
Don't forget to use the scented candles.
Give chips to the orphans every day.
Don't forget to
walk all ladies across the street.
Exactly.
Every day. But never watch any movies unless they're rated G.
No.
Don't listen to any songs unless they say Jesus in it.
Well, depending on how they use it.
We're talking.
What else?
Oh, yes. Only wear chacos.
Only wear chacos. That's what Christians do.
Wear Jesus sandals.
If it's not on Instagram,
wear Jesus sandals.
If you just.
That's not on Instagram, it didn't.
You don't
really
need a bigger note on Instagram, it didn't happen.
Oh, yeah. Say it again?
If you didn't post your Bible notes on Instagram, it didn't happen.
Yeah, post your Bible notes.
Every day.
We still got one?
Yeah, we're still going. Maybe a couple more, maybe two more.
Don't get mad.
Don't get mad.
Every day.
Every day.
Be friends with everybody.
Yeah, certainly.
Don't get mad at Jesus.
Don't get mad at Jesus. We'll leave that one under. Don't get mad every
day.
Yeah,
Luke.
Be friends with everyone.
That's a good one.
Don't do it. Don't get angry.
Don't ever slap anyone every day.
Don't wear white on lay wraps every day.
Yeah. Okay.
Read the Torah.
What about make sure that you
brush your teeth.
No, I'm gonna leave that in. What about go on a mission trip every single year, no matter what? See, do y'all think some of these are good things, right?
Yeah.
But when we make a rule out of them and say, Jesus is only going to love me if I do all these things, that's whenever we get into trouble. Does that make sense? Now, here's the problem with all these rules. They may seem helpful, but none of these rules, even if you hold to all of these, they have zero ability to change your heart. They might change your behavior. It might change your appearance so that you can look like you're a good Christian. But these rules have no power to change your heart. It'd be like my heart is dark with sin, and I say, I need help, and you hand me this. And I go, well, that, if I drop some food on my shirt, it might help with that. But it is not going to touch my heart. It's not going to affect it. Rules affect our external appearance, but have no power to change your heart. Be careful that you don't trust in rules to change your heart. And here's the thing. Clay and I were talking about this. Clay, we like rules, don't we?
Yes.
And I don't mean we, like just us, but I think we as a human race, we like rules. Why do you think we like rules?
They're straightforward. Keep us in order.
They're straightforward. They keep us in order.
We follow them and make us feel like we are supposed to.
Make us feel like we're doing something. Make us feel good about ourselves.
We like to be in control. And if we do that, then we're in
control. Whoa. We like to be in control because if I make up a list and I follow the list, then I'm in control.
We like to know the bare minimum to be right.
Yeah.
Like how close we can come to being wrong.
Uh-huh. Did y'all catch what he's saying there? Yeah. Like, if you say, obey Jesus in everything, that's scary and that's huge. But if you say, I have a list of 10 things that I'm going to follow, that's like, I can do that. See what I mean? It's like the bare minimum. It's safer. Makes us feel good. And if I make a list of rules and I follow them, then I can stand there and thump my chest and go, oh, I did that. Me. And it feeds our pride. And it has no power to actually fix what's wrong with your heart and with my heart. Rules don't work. They don't change your heart. So be careful that you don't trust them. If you live your life because you have a rule, if everything, every decision you make is because you have a rule that tells you do that or don't do that, you're going to be tempted to put your trust in rules instead of putting your trust where?
In Jesus.
And so in Colossians chapter 2, in verses 16 through 23. Hey, Jared, will you scoot that projector just a smidge? Just pivot just a smidge right there. Perfect. Thank you.
Perfect.
Rules can't be trusted. Why can't rules be trusted? Well, because, as we're going to see here, first of all, they're temporary, they're lifeless, and they're powerless. Look at what he says in verse 16, chapter 2, Colossians. Therefore, do not let, underline those words, do not let, because that's about to be repeated. Do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to religious festival or new moon celebration or Sabbath day. Do you know what those things are? What you eat or drink or festivals or new moon celebration? Those are rules. That's what those are. And he's saying, don't. This is Paul talking to the Colossians, and he says, don't let people judge you by following rules. Because remember, they're not supposed to follow all these rules. They're supposed to follow Jesus, right? So he says, don't let them judge you by these legalistic rules. And what he's talking about there is don't let them judge you according to legalism. Do you remember when we talked about that a few weeks ago? The false teachers were coming at him with three falsehoods primarily. And one of them was legalism, that you have to follow all these rules. Now, he says, don't let them judge you and say, if you're not following these rules, then God doesn't love you. Or you're not good enough, okay? So he says, don't let them do that. Well, why not? Why shouldn't we let them judge us according to those laws and rules? Well, because of verse 17. These religious rules, they are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Underline those two words, shadow and reality. Or your Bible might say shadow and substance. He's contrasting those two things. That the law is the shadow, and who is the reality?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ. So here's, think about it like this. If there was a light shining on me from behind here and I'm coming, you might see my shadow before you see me. And it looks kind of like my shape and reminds you of me a little bit. So you're like, I think I kind of know what Andy's like. And then I show up and now I'm here. And now the shadow, you don't need to show you what I'm like because I'm here. And that's what he's saying, that those laws were all a shadow and Jesus is the substance. Hebrews 10 says it like this: the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices — he talks about sacrifices because that's an important part of the law in the Old Testament, making these sacrifices. Well, why did they have to kill all those animals over and over again? Sacrifices repeated endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. They can't make them perfect. And then in verse 10, it says, "But we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." So all those Old Testament sacrifices were the shadow. They were the picture to get everybody ready for Jesus. And then when Jesus arrives, they're like, "Oh, that's what the law was pointing to this whole time." It's like when I was a counselor at Kanakuk, I had this picture in my Bible. This is my wife, me too. And because she wasn't at camp, like, I couldn't be with her in person, so I had this, and I would look at it, and I would think about her, and I would write stuff to her. Now, you know what happened whenever I got home from camp, and she was there, and we were there face to face? I promise you, I did not say, "Hey, I'll see you later. I'm going to go for a walk with the picture." No, you know what I did? I said, "Forget this. I've got the real... Why would I want to spend time with a shadow when I can be face to face with the person?" And that's what he's saying. Those laws are a shadow. Jesus is the reality. You don't have to rigidly follow the rules to think that you're going to earn God's favor and earn salvation. It was all to prepare you for the reality of Jesus. And he's here and you have Jesus. So he says, don't let them judge you on the basis of that. The law, in a sense, was training wheels to get you ready for Jesus. And you don't need to follow them. You need Jesus. Now look at verse 18. Do not let... See, underline those words again. Here's another thing. These false teachers are after them. He said, don't let them judge you based on legalism. He also says, don't let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you from the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. So this is not talking about legalism. This is talking about mysticism. That was another thing that the false teachers were saying. Jesus is not enough. You need legalism, you need a lot of rules, and you need mysticism. You need to press on to a higher knowledge, of a secret knowledge. When you worship angels and receive visions, there's something deeper and more mysterious and ethereal than Jesus. He's not enough. And that's what he's saying here. Don't let them disqualify you. Don't let them say, you don't have visions, you don't worship angels, well, you're disqualified, you don't belong. Don't let them do that. They're false teachers. Well, why not? Well, because those are imposters and those are lifeless rules. And they are lifeless. Look at what he says in 19. He has lost... That means anyone who judges you based on these things, he has lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together with his ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. So I want you to pay attention to those first words. He has lost connection with the head. Don't listen to them when they say, if you haven't received some secret knowledge, then you don't belong to God. Why? Because they're not even connected to the head. Who's the head?
Jesus.
He's saying they're not even connected to Jesus. You know what that reminds me of, not being connected to the head? Some of you maybe have seen this in person. I've only heard stories of, like, my grandparents telling me when they had chickens, and when you kill a chicken, you cut the head off, and the body will keep on right on running. Well, not literally, because there's no... Maybe, but they're separated from the head and still moving around. There's a lot of activity, but no life. And that's what he's saying about these false teachers. They're trying to get you busy with lots of religious activity and with a deeper secret knowledge, but they're not even connected to Jesus. So, it makes sense to me why they might come up with a bunch of rules. Because think about it. If you're not connected to Jesus, you have no power to overcome sin. You have no power to change your heart. So if you're not connected to Jesus, you're like, what? I need something. Maybe if I make a list of a bunch of rules that I can follow, maybe that'll help. They were desperate and thought that the answer was rules, legalism, and mysticism. But it's because they were grasping for something because they were not connected to the head. They didn't have power because they didn't have Jesus. And look at what verse 20 says. This is Paul talking to the Colossians. And I want you to hear the Lord talking to you. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, those rules, you died to those. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules of do not handle, do not taste, do not touch? That's all this list of rules. And he's saying, you have died to that. There was an old you, Luke, before you believed in Jesus, who thought that the only way to be connected to God was to follow a bunch of rules. And that Luke, the moment that you believed in Jesus, died. That's what he's saying here. So, and I'm going to say it for the rest of you too. So why, if you have died to that, do you keep living like that person who the only chance he had to get close to God was following rules? Don't live like that. You died to that. Why would you? How could you? If you died to that. This makes me think of zombies, okay? I've done a lot of research on zombies. It consisted of about 5 minutes of research in my own mind. And here's my conclusion on zombies. Zombies are gross. You know why zombies are gross? Because they are dead. And they pick up their lifeless body and try to continue on and live life with a body that's dead. And try to have interaction with people having no concept of how much they're grossing everybody out with their body parts falling off and being all gross. Because they're dead and they don't know it. And that's you and I whenever we continue to walk in.
Sorry.
When we continue to walk in legalism and thinking, I'm going to make God happy by following all these rules. You died to that. Don't try to live in that any longer. Do I need to pause? You okay?
No, we're good.
Okay. We died to that. We don't need to live in that any longer. And so now he just got done saying, do not. You see it there at the end of verse 20? Why do you submit to its rules? That's another way of saying you should not submit to its rules. Do not submit to the rules. Why not? Well, because he's saying they're temporary, they're disposable. Look at what he says in 22. These are all destined to perish with use. Why? Because they are based on human commands and teachings. They come from humans. They're not eternal. They're temporary. Have you ever tried to dry your hands off with toilet paper?
Yeah, it doesn't just work. Kind
of falls apart. That's what I think about human commands and teachings. They're not meant to be eternal. They're meant to be temporary, to point you to Jesus, so when He's here, you obey Him. And then, not only are they temporary and disposable, but they're also powerless. Look at 23. Such regulations, such rules, like all these that we wrote and other ones that maybe you live by, all of those regulations and rules, indeed, they have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body. So this harsh treatment of the body, that's the asceticism again. Remember the three things that false teachers talked about? Legalism, mysticism, asceticism. Saying Jesus is not enough. You need rules. You need secret knowledge. You need to be mean to your body. And that did, Peyton, include fasting. But it was fasting to try to earn God's favor or to make him happy, to earn salvation. And none of those work. And he's saying all those rules and regulations, they have an appearance of wisdom. What do you think it is? What is he trying to say if he says those things have an appearance of wisdom? What's he saying underneath that?
They don't have wisdom.
They don't have real wisdom. It's fake. It has the, on the outside, it looks like it. But, that's a contrast word, underline that. They lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. That means that they have no power to restrain your flesh and your desires. They have no power to change your heart. They have the appearance, kind of like this guy. He has something kind of like the appearance of power. Okay?
He's missing the six pack.
Now, what's going to happen if this guy who's dressed like Superman stands out in front of an oncoming train?
Well, it depends on if he's from Krypton.
Pancake! Or Sloppy Joe or something. Because he has no real power. He has the appearance of power, but no real power. And that's the same with all of these rules or any rule that you come up with to make yourself holy. Rules that you try to follow to make yourself holy have no power. They look like it, they appear like a good idea, but they have no power. They might change the way you look on the outside for a short amount of time, but they're not going to change your heart. And they're not going to last. They're temporary, they're lifeless, and they're powerless. Do not trust rules to change your heart. Only Jesus can do that. So let me tell you what this passage is saying as clear as I can. This is saying, don't submit to rules. Submit to Jesus. The life of following Jesus is not a list of do's and don'ts. It's submission to a person. It's submitting to Jesus Christ. Don't obey rules. Obey Jesus. Don't follow rules. Follow Jesus. Don't love rules. Love Jesus. And can I tell you, it terrifies me to say this to you. Because what am I saying? Don't follow rules, follow Jesus? Does this mean we do whatever we want? Do we throw the rules out? No, here's... Not if you're connected to the head, right? If you're connected to Jesus and you're obeying Jesus, you're free, but you're free to obey Jesus. And so, no, it doesn't mean you can do whatever you want. I've actually just raised the standard on you. Because if I say make a list of rules and follow that, Jesus blows rules out of the water. Do you remember what he said in the Sermon on the Mount? Whenever he said, he took all these different laws. You have heard it said this, but I tell you this. And he blew it out of the water. You've heard it said don't commit adultery. I say if you even look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. Obeying Jesus is going to raise the standard on you. It's going to make it more challenging. but at the same time, it gives you more freedom, and now you actually have power. If you have a list of rules you're trying to carry out in your own strength, you're exhausted, and there's a cap on how holy that you think you're going to become. If you obey Jesus, there's no end to what he might ask you to do, but he's going to give you power and satisfy you for every step of the way. So, submit to Jesus, not the rules. What about my parents' rules? What about my government's rules? What about my teacher's rules? Well, again, obey Jesus. Jesus paid the tax. He followed the rules. He followed the rules of the government. He obeyed the government and he obeyed his parents. Obeying Jesus is going to mean obeying your parents and obeying the government. But what it means is you don't walk through life looking down at a list of rules that you have printed out. You don't have a bunch of rules like this and a bunch more that you're just walking around looking. Because if you do this, you're never looking up to Jesus. What if you don't have a list of rules and every time you have a decision to make, you don't consult the list, you look up and you say, Jesus, what do you want me to do? Your rules can actually become a barrier to keep you away from intimacy with Jesus. What if you don't have rules? What if you just have a connection to the head, Jesus? And when you have a decision to make, you say, Jesus, what do you want me to do? When you get on the internet, you say, Jesus, what do you want me to look at? When you're going out with your friends, you say, Jesus, what do you want us to do? Which friends, Jesus, do you want me to hang out with? Jesus, how do you want me to talk to this person that I'm mad at? What if Jesus was in control of every single thing you do all day long? What if you just submitted to Jesus? What if you just followed Jesus? That is power. He can change your heart. And he actually already has changed your heart. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would be close to my friends, my brothers and sisters here. And I hope that this causes some good conversations with small group leaders and with parents. And I hope they start to figure out, what does this really mean? A life of just obeying you, Jesus. And I pray that you would help them. And I pray that you would give them your power. I pray that you would be close to us and we could enjoy just being close to you and hearing from you all the time and obeying you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go to small groups.